All right, good evening, everybody. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 6:33. Will you join us for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I'm going to declare a quorum with all three board members present. Let's see, a couple new faces. This is Katie Gossman, our treasurer. I'm Jeff Henge, our trustee, and this is Julie Winslow, our clerk. Let's see, do we have any groups mentioned to speak?
No, but could you give me your name?
David and Linda Moyer.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, the good news is, start off right off easily. We have a bunch of new employees that we've just hired between September 5th and September 11th. We have a new overseer that I'd like to introduce. His name's James Coots. Lives down off of 180th on the south side, on the wrong side of the tracks. Go ahead. Give us a little bit of your, about you.
My name is James Coots, originally from Wisconsin. I've born and raised here, been out here for about 3 years. Recently retired from the Air Force back in March, as a mechanic. Enjoying retired life for a little while. Saw the opportunity to help out the community with the overseer position. Got quite a few years, pretty much since I was age, to reach pedals on graders and dump trucks and semis, and we maintain dirt roads in Wisconsin, so I've got very vast knowledge, a really good background when it comes to rebuilding roads, maintaining roads, high use, heavy weight, pretty much everything in between. So I'm looking forward to make an impact out here on the roads and in the community out here.
Welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, James. Like I said, James started on the 5th. Full-time, we have another full-time operator we hired, and two more part-time operators to go with Steve Jones, who's staying part-time. So we'll have about, let's see what that adds up to. The two part-time guys are roughly up to 30 hours. Steve is up to 20. That's 80. So we'll have between 3.5 to 4 full-time equivalents. All the part-time guys actually have full-time jobs, but they all have odd hours. Steve does 3:13s or 4:10s, and usually is available for us Friday, Saturday, Sunday, sometimes Thursday, Friday, Saturday. One of our other guys, Doug, actually has a graveyard shift, midnight to 7. And so he's available with us usually 1 to 7 in the afternoon or on weekends. And so last couple of weekends, it's been he and Steve. And then Daniel is a Rose Hill firefighter and currently working Wednesday through Friday with them, so he's doing Monday and Tuesday full-time with us, or full-time days, those 2 days with us. So Monday, Tuesday, we've got 3 full-time people. Wednesdays, Thursdays is around 2.5. Friday, Saturdays, 2.5 to 3, 3+. So we're excited to be staffed up again. Julie, the clerk's report.
Nope, we aren't going by the agenda at all. you got to get this according to your agenda. You already put it out. So next is the overseer's report. You actually, is that
right.
Your report?
You're right.
Is that your report, your trustee's report?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not a big deal. All right. You're right. James, being new, your overseer's report here. I threw this together for this month. I hadn't talked to Steve about the little extra projects that he's done. I knew that he had done a little bit of maintenance on some of the equipment. He ran a couple loads of garbage up to El Dorado to the dump, some stuff we had in the ditches or out at the shop. He did some extra hours for us over the past month where we've been short on employees, and we'd wanted to really thank him for that. The materials and the labor and diesel, those are all correct for August. One of that large number, the Donlinger materials, that was the Millings project, as we've been calling it, the construction up at 120th and Andover Road. We were able to get the Millings out of there, and we've been putting that in some of the neighborhoods. On the back side, the equipment. The ProStar, that one's in serious need of repair. James and some of the guys checking it out noticed that needs some work. The wheel seal, we got a couple of estimates on that. That's going to come up in our board business a little bit later tonight. And then he just told me today about our water truck. That's the Freightliner that in the mid-axle, it's got a, you said a seized wheel bearing?
Brake drum.
Brake drum, that's
right.
Brake
drum is not releasing.
Okay. So just as a heads up, that's something we got to take a look at and get further information on. And the mid-axle, it's that's the axle that the wheel is on. You said it was the driver's side, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then the graded roads, I got that this list, partial list from Steve, and I'll he unfortunately is having surgery today, minor, and so I'll fill this out and get that complete by next month.
Okay. You can always jump on the Foley My Vision software.
True.
And you can track where the grader has been at least every 4 hours. So if you don't know where they've all been. We had an agenda meeting Monday, and I'll just kind of go over that with you because I don't think that we generally do that. One of the things that we talked about that we've kind of put off and kind of made it tabled was whether or not we would have an engineering firm come out and do a road count. I would rather have somebody else do it, but you know, if we've got the equipment and if it can be verified and rechecked by at least two or three people, I'm pretty good with that. I told Jeff in the agenda meeting I would like for him to bring his equipment to a meeting and show you how he came up with what roads and how he goes through the program and decides which roads have more traffic based on our camera systems and our data that we put together to try to figure out where the road counts are the heaviest. And that's the only fair way to do it, really. We know that we have an awful lot of traffic on County Line Road. Go ahead, here. And then I know we have a lot of traffic in Sparts, not all of County Line Road, but most of it. And then we have an awful lot of traffic on some of the other east-west roads like 180th and 160th and so forth and so on. So I'm hoping that those get taken care of. Anyway, so we can't really make decisions during a meeting like that. And we did talk about what we would like to do, but we really need to put it on the agenda and vote on it that we're not going to hire an engineering firm because it was kind of up in the air and we did table it at a previous meeting. So I'm going to leave that up to Jeff because that's pretty much what I have to do. I can't really add anything to the agenda, but I would prefer that when we table something, we add it, and that way it's a record and not do things that are decided on in those agenda meetings because even though they're public, I just would rather not have any business during that time. Okay, I got several calls and a couple of really bad emails from people on roads. I forwarded a couple of them. I didn't forward one of them that was particularly nasty because I traced it back to somebody that doesn't even live in the township and really doesn't live on a township road. So I decided that it was just somebody that wanted to vent, so I just let him vent. Another thing I want to bring up is that I did get a picture from someone. I finally figured out who it was. I know who sent it to me. But I didn't know who actually had sent it.
Hang on a second, please. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Did you see my note about that?
I just want to report on what we
talked
about.
I'm asking you, did you see my note about that?
Yeah, I saw your email or your text message about how you hadn't had a chance to talk to me.
And you think it's a good idea to put that out there?
I think that it's for a public meeting, and I think people should be cognizant that we know what is happening, and I know you don't, but
that's not what I said.
There's just not.
That's not what I said at all. Okay. I asked you to think that through.
To think what through?
From the email I sent you.
Okay, I saw the email. And I'm choosing to make it part of the record because I am denied doing my job as a person that takes the minutes, so it has to be on the recording. So we did. I do have a picture of Jack using his own equipment and going down the road and obviously moving the rock. So I'm going to leave that up to Jeff. I hope that at least a police report will be made. I don't know. I've not seen a police report about the 4,000 gallons of gas. Have we ordered any new unleaded gas?
We ordered 100 gallons only, just when Steve was out there by himself. Just a little bit, just to keep him going while we were getting new employees out and then deciding what we were going to do with the Senex credit cards, or the gas cards, sorry.
Okay, when our previous overseer was here, he had talked to us about it, and he didn't really want any more unleaded gas in that barrel because 4,000 gallons is a lot of money. We can't account for it, so...
That's not entirely true.
You're interrupting me.
You're right. Sorry.
You know, it doesn't matter if you agree or don't agree. I have my own research, and I know that we have one truck that burns unleaded, basically, and it got 10,000 miles for that 4,000 gallons of gas, which nets out to about 1 gallon a mile. So I don't know what happened to the rest of it. Something did, but there's been no report made as of yet. We do have a rule that the sheriff told us about a couple years ago, and I wanted to let our new township overseer know. He would prefer nobody even get in a grader without a CDL. I think he would probably be okay with a B as long as they had a CDL. Personally, I'm okay with you or other people that don't have their CDLs yet training on the grader as long as we have a fully CDL person in the grader with you or on board the grader with you while you're training.
We want to safely be able to operate that grader with another fully licensed. I do have my learner's permit for the CDL.
That's good.
And I have talked to the DOT, and I talked to the state trooper this afternoon that is unaware of any such regulation.
That's just what Kelly Herzat told us. So, you know, I would call him. We've just kind of made it a rule that you don't have one, you don't get it. But if you have a learner's permit and you have somebody following you or helping you or training you, you have to be trained. So we recognize that. But I don't want any more calls. We have so many new employees that I'm looking for our payroll company to probably increase the amount they charge us every month because we pretty much doubled the amount of work that we have. The next thing I have is that there's something that you need to be aware of, you may not be aware of. 911 is run by Director Davis over in El Dorado, and he actually has all of the township board members' names in his hat, and he pretty much calls us if there's a safety issue. If somebody... This happens when somebody calls in and says there's something on the road. They don't always get it right. Whatever they tell 911 is what whoever's on the other side of the phone gets. So as long as I'm on the board, I shouldn't get any more calls because I wrote Mr. Davis an email and I said, just please don't call me anymore because I don't want any more ass-chewing, pardon my French, emails from my trustee who really doesn't have any right to slander me personally in public, in writing, in an email such as that. So I did ask him to refrain, and Mr. Wajak followed that up with a call and asked him to also remove my name. But when they call us, they call me last because my name's Winslow. So first they call Jeff. If he doesn't answer, they call Katie. Then they call me. Well, no one answered that morning. So I answered the phone because it stays by my bed. And if I pick it up and it says Butler County, I know somebody needs something. So that's my job as being on the township board to answer the phone when it's Butler County. So I did. And apparently all the information they got wasn't right. And anyway, it turned out to be in another area, but since I wasn't dressed yet and I knew our overseer was either on the way to work or ready to go out the door, I asked him if he'd go take a look to see where it was for sure. which he did. But, you know, as a board member, that's kind of my prerogative. If somebody calls and said there's a tree down and I've already done this, I've already done that, it's really all of our jobs to respond. In the agenda meeting, I found out a couple of things. Jeff does have another number, and I did give that to Butler County. It's a different area code, and I have that if anybody needs it.
Not my home phone.
They didn't have that.
Do not give out my cell phone. I have a township phone. Do not give out.
Okay, if you cannot answer it.
Do not give out my personal phone number. Do you understand?
No, I don't.
I don't care if you understand. Don't do it.
You cannot give out people's personal stuff.
Well, your stuff is personal, and it's on the website.
That's her
choice. Yeah, because I'm using my personal phone for my township work.
I have a township phone.
You have a township phone that you don't answer, Jeff.
That's BS.
If you don't want to answer, then get off the board, please.
That's BS.
And Katie, you didn't answer either, and your excuse was, I asked 911 to call me twice before I'll answer. Can you imagine asking 911
again,
to call you twice?
None of your business.
Did I not tell you there is a personal reason to that, which is none of your business as to why that is how my phone works?
You're on the board. There's an emergency. You can't tell them they can't call, but you can look at your phone. You have caller ID.
Township business is township business.
And it says
personal is personal.
Butler County, and that's what they're calling for.
Julie, just move on with your report.
They're calling for an emergency.
Move on with your report, please.
So, you know, I had to pay $100 out of my own pocket 2 years ago when I was getting a lot of phone calls at night. But I didn't tell people they couldn't call me. I didn't tell 911 they couldn't call me either. Instead, I just bought that package for $100. That way, anybody that tried to call that wouldn't leave a message or tried to hide it anonymously, I got the number anyway. And I'd be glad to vote to buy that for Katie so that 911 doesn't have to call twice in order to get her to answer the phone. Okay, equipment presentations. I really don't mind if you have a lot of equipment needs. But as far as I can see from other boards, and I've been to other board meetings in the past for different townships, what usually happens, and I'm asking you to do this too, is you come to the board meeting or you come to the agenda meeting and say, these are the equipment needs that I have or whatever, but you let us all know. Or sometimes it's done in an email. Otherwise, everything that I get is second or third hand. So it'd really be helpful if you would just email all of us and say, hey, I had to, you know, our so-and-so trucks broke down, I've had so-and-so out, I've gotten this bid, I've gotten that bid. We really are supposed to get three bids if it's over a certain amount of money. But I'm just asking you to please present that to the whole board instead of just one person, because that way I just get it in a very convoluted manner. I will note while I've got my report going is that the minutes I've made some adjustments to. The minutes are supposed to be in exact order of what happens in the meeting, no ad-libbing, no adding things, no changing it around just because you don't like the order that it was in. So Jeff likes to put that at the last now so that no one can argue with it. But, you know, frankly, I'm looking at this agenda, and I'm here to tell you, these two items on here, we know that we hired these people, and yes, we should have held a private meeting or a special meeting to hire them properly rather than wait to the next meeting to do it. But Jeff doesn't like special meetings because they have to be announced. So that's how that should have been done. This other repair, I don't know anything about, but neither one of these items were part of the agenda meeting. Neither one of them. So as far as I'm concerned, the agenda meeting is nothing more than a private meeting where Jeff can discuss everything he doesn't want to discuss in this meeting.
Wow,
that's right. That's how I feel. Just
okay.
Like you said how you felt in your ugly email, who I have a very good copy of right here in front of me.
Great. Have anything else?
Oh, I'll think of something, but you always put me first so that you can make sure that you negate anything I might say that you don't like. So Katie's next, if you want to follow the agenda.
Go right ahead.
So just an FYI, Julie telling you guys how to get a hold of me during off hours, please do not do that. There is a reason I have my phone off. I need some personal time. Please do not use that to try to get a hold of me when I need some just break time for me. I contacted the auditing firm regarding our 2014 and 2017 audits. I have not heard back. He had a funeral he was at, so I'm thinking he's kind of a little preoccupied at the moment. But I'm looking into our status of our audits for those 2 years.
What year was it, Katie?
2013 and then 2017.
No, 14, 17.
14 and 17, sorry. 2014 and 17. Yes, because we decided to do this year 2013 and 2014, and then we need to get our 2017 for last year done. So, yeah. So, whenever he is available, I'm sure he'll give me a call back. If I don't hear something from him, I'll try again next week. Let's see. There's something else I was going to say. Blanked on something for a minute. So we'll move on to the reconciliation. So beginning balance, bank balance for the month of August was $505,960.10. Total cleared transactions brought the bank balance to $481,733.98. We had some unclear transactions, leaving us an available balance of $481,426.44. I'll just kind of bring it up real quick, because I'm sure some of you will see it. We got a deposit from Intuit. What that was for was that was Rick Brown's final check that we had sent to him. But apparently his account had been frozen as soon as the bank found out that he had passed away. And so that meant that no transactions could go in or out of the account, which meant that our transaction to his account got bounced back to us. So that is actually an item that got added onto the voucher list for today to try to mail that out and then let whoever's in charge of his estate deal with it.
Put your reconciliation here somewhere. I want to see where you took in that check into QuickBooks and then spit it back out again as another check to the estate. Or did you do that?
That's the expense.
Did you write a new check? Maybe I should just ask that.
Yes, the new check is on the voucher list.
Okay. Where's... Or did you credit it back to the account?
Deposit.
Which one was for?
Okay, 2, 2, 6. Let's see, we took that out and...
All
right, that was an August expense, right? And
what?
That was an August expense, right? That payroll to Rick was August.
It may have hit July.
No. We didn't decide to do it until August. It went through direct deposit on the 8/15 direct deposit.
Well, we sent it out sooner than that.
Okay. So it is a part of September records now? I just don't want the auditor to have a problem if he doesn't see enough notations that it was returned, canceled, and rewritten in the following month.
Yeah.
Well, it was deposited back August 7th. So that's August, and we're putting it as an August check. So wouldn't those match up since it's on the voucher list for August?
Like she said, I thought she wrote it in July. And she wrote it in July. It'll be July.
And I corrected her and said we didn't. He passed away on July 28th. We didn't write it in July.
Okay, let me see what that check says. This one says.
I didn't bring last month's stuff.
It's
so
not,
I can't. Well, we sent that out a little bit fast because we were trying to get it into his account before somebody closed out his account. So I remember we did that a little fast.
We did, but it wasn't, it was...
But we didn't do it with our regular payroll, so...
We passed on Saturday the 28th, 29th Sunday. We met on Monday the 30th. So the earliest it could have been was Tuesday the 31st, if that's what you send it through direct deposit. So I don't... If you send it to Peter on the 31st or on the 30th.
Like I said, I'd have to pull out last month's stuff.
Hey, as long as you note it, I don't care when you did it. As long as you note it, it's different.
Well, good. The voucher says readmission, right? A replacement check?
That's... If all of our payroll records were on here, it would be easier to see it. But I don't know. I have to look at both places.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on to the vouchers, I move to approve the vouchers incurred in August 2018.
Second.
I'll pass.
Okay.
You paid people. You paid the Steve Uhlig guy, and today's the first day I ever heard of Steve Uhlig. I don't know what he does. I know I got an email from Katie. I don't know where he came from. I mean, I've never seen anyone be able to build a township without an invoice or without a something. And I mean,
you got an email.
I got an email, and Katie did send me some attachments. I do know that.
Okay, so you got both an email
today.
Describing exactly.
Today.
No, not today. I sent you one before today, describing who he is, what he did, he and Steve working on the tractor.
Okay. We normally
What his qualifications were.
Okay.
And that he gave us an invoice.
Okay, I'd rather have time to look it over if you don't mind, and I didn't have time. Monday this is all supposed to be done, so it was like yesterday and today. So I can pass, you guys can go ahead and approve it. I'm good with that.
Okay.
Let's see, I sent the email.
That's right. So you said there are no changes between the draft Monday and this?
The changes that I noted that I sent an email that I had changes on, and I sent the invoices on the 18th, the evening of the 18th, so you guys were able to look at that, what I was sent that I was adding on.
Let's see. Motion is on the table, made and seconded. Those in favor to approve the vouchers?
Aye.
Pass.
Opposed?
I'm just going to abstain.
Okay.
That should be it.
Okay. On the trustees report, I touched briefly on the employees. There will be some more information that will go up on the website with a little bit of their background, pictures of them, full names. Let's see. The county, following up on one of the business items from last month, the county finished their chip seal project on 160th, the second mile from Butler Road to Prairie Creek. They did all the repair work first, the hot asphalt material, and then as you can see, the chip seal is on there now. Excuse me. And then happy to report that one of the items on the voucher is a backhoe payment to Caterpillar, which is the final payment on that lease. So we now own the backhoe free and clear. That's a $16,000 a year payment that we won't have next year.
So just pray it doesn't break down.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Moving to items of business. First item. Consider hiring James Coots as full-time overseer, Robert McGowan as full-time operator, Daniel Harshberger as part-time operator, and Doug Youngers as part-time operator as well. So moved.
I'll second.
Discuss?
Sure.
Hey, we're not considering. We've already hired them, and that's the motion you should make.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
If you want to amend that to include that, then let's amend it.
I'm not gonna amend it because we've done this for probably seven out of our last.
You do it your way, yes.
Seven out of.
We're supposed to have a meeting and get it done, but
you're interrupting.
Oh wow.
Seven out of our last nine employees, and it's never been a problem. Motion is on the table, made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Belatedly.
Okay. Second item is the semi-truck just needs some repairs. We have a couple of estimates that we're following up with just on some final detail with Summit and Kenworth. It's, as you can see on here, the wheel seal and brake drums on the truck itself, and then brake drums on the trailer. An email was sent about this earlier in the week with information on this.
I have the email right here, and all I have is Kenworth said approximately $2,800 for parts and labor.
It's not all it says.
Well, that's about that. It says that about the Kenworth. And then it talks about
and it literally the says they don't do trailers.
Okay.
In Summit truck, $2,000 given for labor only, and they don't say for parts. This was just for the truck only.
When it's that much money, do we ever get a written estimate? I mean, we usually did get a written estimate, and I haven't seen it. Did we just decide to change business, the way we do business?
We have, oh, man.
All right. So Summit, $2,000 without
we've
parts.
Not. We have not.
Yes,
on repairs
I
like
have
that,
some.
We have
I
not,
will show you the estimates.
We have some. We have not always. Sometimes it is just on timing where we need to get these guys going and working. We have four very experienced guys that have experience with mechanics around the area. It's an estimate range. We have consistently for 3 years tried to come in with the lowest estimates we can, lowest repair costs we can, do as much repairs on our own as we can.
What I have found in the past with Summit and with some of the other trucking companies is that they will give you an estimate by phone, and then when you get the bill, it's a lot higher. So if possible, I would like to get a written estimate, but there's two other board members. If they want to go with this other estimate, then that's up to them.
They can do that. They also Summit, the last repair that we just tried to do, did with them, actually. They gave us a $3,800 bid on an EGR cooler repair, and they price matched to our second bid with $2,800. They actually kept the truck. They brought their bid down $1,000 and price matched it.
It's a good thing we had something in writing.
Was there a reason why Summit didn't want to say how much for the parts?
I don't think it was that they didn't want to. Just this has happened this week, and it's just trying to move forward on it.
Okay.
You got something
so
on this?
So the estimates with Summit and with Kenworth is Summit, it's one, it's hard to get a written estimate because when this truck gets moved there, it's going to stay there. That's the only drivability that this truck has, period. The inner wheel seal, it holds the grease and the oil in for your wheel bearing. You throw a wheel bearing between here and Wichita, you're going to have a big problem. Two, with Summit, not seeing exactly the condition of the brakes on the truck and trailer, they can't put a price estimate on it because it could just be shoes, could be brake drums and shoes, could be air chambers and brake drums and shoes. It could just be a linkage adjustment. Not 100% sure on that, so they couldn't give 100% on the parts. Probably the best thing they could do for part estimate for that seal for the wheel is probably just give you a price cost of the what they would think would be used for that seal replacement. That's if it didn't cause any other damage like a wheel bearing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to get the exact, and I'm actually working with a third company that I should have an estimate hopefully tomorrow afternoon for the truck and trailer. I just got known of them later this afternoon, so they have been contacted and we're working to see what we can do on that as well.
Okay. So I guess here's the question then, too. Summit, so let's see. Kenworth will not work on the trailer. Summit
correct.
Will work on the
yes.
trailer.
The second bid that I'm, or the third bid that I'm working on, also they do all brands of trucks and they do trailers.
Okay.
So they would be able to take care of both
depending on the situation.
Okay, and Summit didn't want to give an estimate on the trailer? Because
I don't care if it's a range. It can be 1 to 5,000 or 1 to 3,000.
Because
you know,
of a similar reason for the parts on
it? Yeah, same thing with the trailer. So the biggest thing with the trailer is what we need to look over with the brakes on the truck and trailer is the brake pads are starting to get thin. There's two of us who are going to be taking our DOT test in that truck. So we have to ensure that we have a DOT certified truck when we take it down to Wichita because we can't just, hey, we want to come down and now we're taking tests. These are booked out 3-4 weeks in advance, so we want to make the best of what we've got once you get down there, and also, too, just the safety of the vehicles while we're moving a lot around.
Safety for everyone.
That's it.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, since we can't get full estimates and we're also looking at putting the trailer on, are we sure that 4,000 is going to cover that potentially, or do we need to bump that range up to 5,000?
I don't know. That's why I put the word range. That's why I said in the email that it depends until they get it open, that they don't know exactly what the repair is until they get it open. Just like every mechanic, you take anything to.
Yeah. So,
there's always that possibility.
I mean, this was 3 to 4. I put it above the 2,000 and the 2,600 to allow for the trailer and any additional that might possibly be that show up.
Okay.
We can do.
If
you want to do 3 to 5,
yeah.
You said 1 to 5.
I say let's make it up to at least 5,000 because especially if I'm just looking at how much it would cost for the truck. And then if you just double that then to include the trailer, then that comes out closer to 5. I just want to make sure that we're covered to do it.
I agree.
At least don't tell them how much money you got.
I never do.
So I'll make a motion to amend that to 5,000 range, top range.
3 to 5?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. Okay,
I'll
just read it again as it's going. Consider repair to blown wheel seal and thin brake drums on International Pro Star and belly dump trailer. Estimates from Summit Truck and Kenworth are in the 3,000 to 5,000 range. So moved. By Julie.
I'll second.
All right, motion made and second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll add an item number 3.
Getting an estimate over the phone on something like that is very difficult.
I know.
I mean, when they get it apart, they're going to see what it needs, and it may be more or maybe less.
Maybe a lot more.
But it's something that has to be fixed, regardless of what.
That's right. Yeah. I'm going to cross our fingers and say that it's less.
I agree. The regardless part comes in. If it comes in at the high range, we might try and go somewhere else. I mean, and as you guys know, for 3 years we've tried to get
up. If you take it, they take it apart to look at it. They're not going to put it back together for the next guy to look at. They're going to
usually not. Sometimes,
but
you're going to say, "Come get it yourself."
It has to be fixed, regardless what it costs.
Well, no, like the last time Summit, they wanted to charge us $300. To your point, they wanted to charge us $300 evaluation fee. So you'd have to make sure that if we took it somewhere else, that the price difference would be less than paying them $300. That we'd save more money by doing that. I agree. And we just try not to do it as a blank check. Yeah.
Well, Jeff, another thing, too, if James and these guys took that truck down with their CDL license, and during their walk around, if they would have seen that grease seal leaking,
that's right.
That truck would have been deadline, and you'd have a tow job to the repair shop.
Right. Yep. Well, that's why we're inspecting them out of the shop.
Get it fixed and get it going.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Well, I think the big thing is that we did put a cap onto how much the guys could get fixed without it actually being a motion in the meeting. So that's what we're trying to get the motion so we can get it fixed.
Yeah. We need to get it fixed.
Okay.
And we might want to consider making that up to 5,000 instead of just 3, which I believe that it's 3,000 right now. Because truck repair is, can you even get a brake pad for $3,000?
I spent $4,000 on my combine and carried it out in a box.
Sorry, Bill. So, it's not funny.
Yikes. I know. Well, then we've been lucky so far. We haven't had any
That's
major
not
repairs
good.
With that.
Don't put that evil on me, Gail.
Yeah.
You're not going to carry brake drums and brake shoes out in a box.
Exactly.
Truck better be in one piece when you get back.
So do you want to go to, we approved that, so do you want to add a second to that motion, another motion to that item to add to make it 5,000?
I don't think I'm ready to do that yet. We literally have only had, I don't even know if we've had a repair that's over 3,000 in 3 years, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple that have bumped right up against it, but.
We've had some over that.
We made it up to 5,000, so.
For this, yeah.
I know, this one. She's saying an ongoing.
Oh, the limit?
As long as you, I mean, I don't think James is going to spend 25 or 30,000 in a month's time without saying something, but if he's broke down, I'd hate for him to not be able to get authorized to come haul the truck, but start repairs.
Okay.
Not ready to do that.
I guess I'm not worried. Do you want to put it on there?
Not really, because I want to know what's going on before I see the actual invoice that big.
Which is my point, and please email everyone so that we all know as much as you know, not secondhand.
Okay, so number three, we'll add a number three. The engineering firm that Julie's talking about, we've had ongoing discussion about our road counter project. There was quite a bit last month about, or 2 months ago, about whether we use an engineering firm, whether we purchase radar-based road counters. And the idea that I brought up on Monday was when we did the project before, we used pneumatic tube road counters, and we put out trail cameras to watch those tubes so that we'd get the pictures to make sure that nobody was messing, you know, going over the tubes 20 times. I just said on Monday, why don't we just use trail cameras? I didn't want to bring it up as an item of business because I wanted to be able to say, just have them hidden and not have people know that that was going on. But So that was the discussion on Monday, was to not spend $8,000 to $10,000 on an engineering firm, not spend $1,200 to $1,500 on individual radar counters, and just go with the trail cameras that we have. Set them out. We can actually put two in each location so that they can verify each other. And then, like Julie said, we'll just have a collection process that shows the photos coming off.
Wait a minute. So you're already doing pneumatic with the trail cameras?
The last time, in 2016, when we did the project before, we had the pneumatic tubes, put those down on the road.
Right.
And we put the trail cameras in the tree lines.
Yeah. You had one on Prairie Creek a month ago.
The county has been out, and KDOT has been out.
Okay.
And they do different. They don't do all the roads we do. They do some of the main lines, some of the main roads. We have tracked down some of that data. I actually talked to the guy near your house when he was down there. We can get that. It's not going to be available till, I think he said, late October, November. For the specific sites they were doing.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail that. But so back before we did the last chip seal project, you did pneumatic.
Yep.
With trail cameras or without?
With.
With.
Yep.
So now you're just asking to just do trail cameras only?
Correct. Because the pneumatic tubes have been sitting for a while, and so they're dried out a bit. So we either have to buy new tubes, or as we go into cooler weather, the pneumatic tubes don't work as well when they're cold because of condensation and the air inside. And so it's why wouldn't this just work to just count the cars that it takes pictures of?
And how much do the new tubes cost?
They're not crazy. Probably for each one, if I remember right, 100 and a quarter maybe max. And that times three counters. There was some, the stuff you read online, there's a couple little small questions about how well they work on gravel roads.
We didn't have any problem with the mechanism. I mean, the verified data, I guess, is my question whenever it comes to that. You've got the pneumatic, you've got I assume somebody's sitting there watching video counting cars manually.
No, they're just snapshot photos.
Oh, of each car. Okay, so you just get a number that comes up that shows up.
Yeah.
So when you guys were doing it before, the pneumatic versus the pictures, was one more accurate than the other?
No, they were within one or two of each other. They were close. The other thing that came up was, as a car would go by, you get the front of the car, the middle of the car, the back of the car, the dust, the tree branch. So there was a little bit of kind of like, okay, wait, we're only going to count that car once, you know, like that, to verify what the tubes came up with. And then once we'd verified it for about 2 weeks in roughly 8 different spots, I think, we just scanned the photos after that to make sure there weren't multiple images of the same car, like somebody just driving back and forth over the tube. And then we just went with the tube counts. But now I was saying that if we just put out 2 trail cameras, you know, within 10 yards of each other, you could do the counts that way, I thought.
And if we already have the trail cameras, we aren't spending any extra money.
Yeah, with all this help we got. Just
say it. Wouldn't you need the trail camera at the first of the mile section and then one at the other end of the mile section to see exactly how many cars are going?
Well, we mainly use the trail cameras to make sure that the pneumatics don't get stolen.
Well, I didn't mess with. We were more worried about messed with.
Messed with.
The one thing about each end of the mile, though, is when you have a neighborhood, we tried to be cognizant of when you have a neighborhood within, say, a quarter mile of one end, we try to think, what is that neighborhood going to do? Is it commuting to Wichita? So if they're going to come out and go this way all the time, a counter here would have a much different reading than a counter on this end down here.
True.
So what I'm proposing is we do 2, you know, there. We did last time and then put 2 down here again. And we did 3 days and kept moving them around all over everywhere.
You're also going to get a different count on our road, depending on the time of year, because there's a business that runs out of their home, behind their home, and they run for wedding rehearsals and things such as that. And so, of course, you know, they're going to be more during the summertime.
True.
And there will be more traffic during that time than there would be.
Right now, a lot of people are avoiding that road.
We've had the same question raised about roads that go towards the school. And so whether we're doing them during the week or on weekends or school year versus summer, honestly, without putting out 20 more, I mean, I don't know, making the project much more extensive, I guess what I could say to that regard is if we start doing this inexpensively, you know, with the trail cameras, maybe we just keep it going in perpetuity. And by the end of 2 years, obviously, we'll make our decision for a couple of roads in there. But, you know, after 2 years, 3 years, we'll have a ton of data. And we can make sure that, to your point, we're watching seasonal changes. When we get to next year, we do it on a different time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I hope there's some kind of road improvement before 2 years, is that?
I do, too, frankly.
Better, I'm going to have it, James.
Okay. All right. So, any more discussion, you guys? Thoughts?
Not about that.
Okay. Katie?
I say just stick with the trail cameras.
You said you were going to have one person handle most of it, and then when they got done, you would verify all the data between you and James, and then you would bring it to a meeting and go through step by step how the data was accumulated and stored.
An idea about that one person, yeah. It was a possibility.
Okay.
As I would discuss that, yeah.
That would be good for him to do. He's got boots.
Okay, so I guess I'll put a motion on the table to move forward with the road counter project just using our trail cameras that we already own.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
How long does it take to do the prioritization, the selection of the prioritization for next year?
I'm sorry, I missed the first half.
What How long does it take this process? You are going with the trail cameras if you start now?
What we did in the past was three days per site, two sites per mile. So that's 6 days, that's a week. And if we do our top 10, top 15 roads, that makes it what? 10 to 15 weeks to get all the traffic data. But that's if we're doing two road counters mirroring each other. If we do this for 2 or 3 weeks and we keep coming up with consistent counts, I think I could make an argument that we could split the counters up then to be able to do that faster.
And you're going to validate what's already been done, the existing chip seal roads?
Well, what do you mean? You mean count the existing chip seal roads again? Or
that was talked about at the last meeting that this came up.
Yeah, we probably should, just to...
Well, you should probably see an increase in traffic, shouldn't you? I mean, if it's a better road,
right,
maybe more people take it.
But what's the
purpose? I know. That's what I was just thinking, too. So maybe we start with the gravel roads so that we can make our decision on which roads we're going to prep for next summer. And then maybe January-ish, whatever the time frame is, December, January, we put them out on the chip seal roads just to get our numbers to corroborate what we already have or to see how they've changed. That sound, because I know you've looked into this a lot, that sound reasonable? Well, at least that puts a priority on the gravel so that we can.
I thought the board had an interest in that. Just validate what we got and did we choose the right ones and all that, but if you don't need to.
Well, here's how I look at it. We've already chip sealed them. We aren't taking the chip seal off, so it's already done. To me, let's just try to move forward and work and focus on the next roads that we want to chip seal. That's kind of my thing. Let's continue moving forward, making improvements. Then if we have a little bit of time and want to go back and see how that's changed things, we can. But I'd rather continue moving forward on which roads we're going to chip seal next.
Okay, and you do all the roads at the township then, the east, west, north, south, to choose the best ones, or you already have a history of which ones are pretty heavily traveled?
Not the additions.
At least,
right,
not the additions, but we should include all the other ones. I don't know if they do or not.
We did include all of them in the first study. I think the numbers came out drastically different enough between our highly traveled roads and our low traveled roads that I think it's fair to say if we pick our top 15 that to measure that our top three are going to fall within that top 15.
Can we see what that's going to look like?
Sorry?
At some time in the future, can we see what the 15 are?
Sure.
And the three?
Sure.
That'll be based on what you find.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And I guess here's something I'm going to throw out too. If we continue chip sealing off of our existing chip seal, it helps to eliminate any issues with it gradually eroding from it going from chip seal to gravel. So to me, I'd kind of like to start off of either existing chip seal or existing
right.
I agree.
Do I need to learn
to
where
house.
You live?
Close to his house. You know what? I think I'm going to amend what I just said, though, and think about that. We might not put out what 15 roads we're measuring because...
Until after we've measured them?
Yeah, we want to keep it... you want a blind data sample, right? You don't want to tip off to the township which ones we're measuring.
I don't want those, so I can drop it up behind it.
Exactly. You're proving my point.
Well,
thank you.
I'm not talking about the schedule. Which ones are going to be counted.
Yeah.
You're talking about after they do the study, we'd like to see the list.
Actually, the data, not just the list, but the data.
The data.
All the above.
The raw data and how it was compiled. And
well, if you did ever road in the township already, you've got history, right?
Correct.
What the top 15
were then.
Correct. Is that
that's and that's what we're going off of.
Is that public knowledge we're going to
be? Absolutely.
Is it what?
I think
public knowledge.
They had it on one of the papers.
Yep.
Yeah, we've handed it out in the past.
We handed it out at one point. That's, I think, the top 10, maybe.
He's got the sheet.
I do. Like I said, we're hesitant to send it out just because we don't want to. But sorry?
I've got it right here.
Good for you. I like that. There you go.
Like I said.
But you don't have 15. You got
pass it. Pass it over there and let him take a snapshot of it.
But I just know there's a lead time on the prep, right?
Yeah.
So you guys got to work the prep in for those chip seal projects and with the rest of the magnets.
We think, right. Agreed. So, I agree. And we can try and set up the actual chip sealing for late August range with
APAC.
Whoever we do. We do APAC again, yeah. Trying to give us as much time.
Do we know yet, budget-wise, how many you're looking at? Because we missed the one or two we should have done this year, right?
Yeah, but that's because we took the money and we focused on the millings project that came up.
Whoa, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I was here when the millings was approved, but I did not hear it going to replace the chip seal. I didn't hear that.
That was very specifically said.
It's in there? It's in the minutes?
Because we were talking about dollar amounts. It's definitely on the recordings. Because we were talking about dollar amounts that the millings might cost for the... what did they say at the time?
Eight to ten thousand.
The milling thing was just because it was such a bargain, and they were going to haul it for you and grade it.
That's kind of why we made that last minute decision. But like, here's an example: a check going out for the millings that was just done is $63,580. That is about equivalent to a mile of what we paid for chip seal.
Well, what's the summary of all total millings? How much we spent total on the millings?
Off the top of the head.
The other one, I think, was maybe more like 30,000 to 40,000 on the check,
right.
I think. So we've hit.
It was in three phases, three different stages, three different amounts. I want to in the 100 to 120 range. I think we estimated it at 140 when we were first talking about it, and it came in under that. And it was, it was just a budget decision in that, and we were able, 120 to 140 would possibly do 3 miles of chip seal. We did 6 miles of neighborhood total because the millings were at such a low cost.
Are we done recycle milling for the neighborhood before chip seal? Is chip seal going to be prioritized ahead of
No, they've now? Decided. I mean, I agreed that we should buy millings for the township's additions.
95% done. There's a few things that we need to finalize where they did the amount that came out there didn't quite finish a couple little roads that we wanted to do, and there's a couple of cleanup spots. So yes, spending on millings is probably 95% done between now and next August.
Have you decided on how many miles will be chip sealed next year?
We've not, because actually we. There's a development there. I'm not going to name any names yet. There could be a citizen that might want to donate to be able to do several miles. So there's a discussion going on right now. I can't say yet.
Excluding what money you got and what you're going to get.
So I think what we've discussed in the past was 1 to 2 miles out of our budget at least.
Right. We think it would be 2. As of right now, what we've talked about is doing 2 more miles next summer. I guess final decision, no, but that's the way we're leaning. That's what we're trying to do.
This summer. 2019.
Next summer.
Forgive me, I've heard this before. So
we were supposed to do 2 miles this year, but.
No, we were supposed to be. We're way off schedule with the floods and the.
Yeah, because our first 3 miles got put off a year because of the flooding, and then we got that first 3 miles done, and then this year we ended up switching to millings because of that opportunity arising. So, yeah. It's
okay. Let's see through that. All right, item F on here is opening the floor. I mean, we're already kind of chatting about it. Sure. Go right in.
My name is Linda Moyer. I live on 146 Terrace. I notice in your trustee minutes, it's item 4, it's our road. 146 Terrace runs from Butler Road to Prairie Creek Road. We live right in the middle. We've lived there for 18 years. And in all of those 18 years, right there in the middle where we're at, it never gets rock. It was neglected right there in the middle on the west end toward Butler Road. That's where all the maintenance occurs. And right there where we're at in the middle, between Butler Road and Prairie Creek Road.
Is that where the milling stopped?
No gravel.
This is a quarter of a 1/8.
Can you give me those?
I think it says areas.
1/8, yeah.
And that was
146 Terrace is between, we live right in the middle between Butler Road and Prairie Creek Road. And in the 18 years we've lived there, and we pay thousands of dollars in taxes every year. And we're the area right there in that middle, and I don't know about toward Prairie Creek Road. We never got gravel. We never got sand.
I'm going to push back a little bit. I have a real problem with the word never. I mean, come
on. Well, we've lived there for 18 years.
Well, I know. I understand. I'm just saying that the 3 years that this board.
They'd start out from the west and go up there. And
they run out of their materials and they stop. And, you know, we understand about the gentleman passing away with this.
Okay.
But that's just recent.
Well, I know. Yeah. But there again, all the maintenance occurs down there on that west end toward Butler Road. And
we've had that property for 25 years.
Okay. Okay.
And it was a cul-de-sac before. So we got a whole road through there now. So
I understand.
So
all right, we'll make
it's like we, beyond that hedgerow, we don't exist.
Okay. Well, I'll try and put your mind at ease then. When I told him 95% of the millings is done, part of that 5% that we're still going to spend is to finish 146th from where they stopped to Prairie Creek.
Exactly.
Is what we've already.
I have a question on that.
Jeez, Julie.
Is the road itself milling? Now that's going to change the whole surface of the road. I mean, as far as for maintenance, you can't just put gravel back down on that.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So
correct.
They're just going to pop, like if there's potholes in it, because there eventually will get to be potholes.
Well, we'll fix what's on there now to get it to be a smooth road. Put a crown on it, and what we're doing is putting down 4 inches of millings, grading that in, putting a crown in the millings, watering that in, and rolling it in with a packer.
What's the difference between milling and this other that you're talking about? Roads?
Chip seal?
Millings are like asphalt road out here that's been ground up. Chip seal is oil and then rock placed on top of that.
Okay.
The chip seal actually lasts longer. The millings at higher speeds and higher volume tend to break up quicker. We found in neighborhoods they last a lot longer.
Okay.
But our concern right there is the seemingly neglect from the middle to Prairie Creek Road. There seems to be a lot of neglect in that area, and we've lived there over 18 years. We've had the property for 32 years.
Okay.
And it is just really, really aggravating.
I understand.
It's making dust and all that.
Sure.
I know we live in the county.
Well, and the nice thing about the millings is once they get packed in and everything, it will give you a pretty good, solid road surface with minimal dust. Very
well, we're
minimal.
Asking for it not to be neglected right there in that part of the road.
Okay. I'm sorry it has seemed that way. James took that note down. You know, we have already talked about finishing that road up.
If there's potholes that are washboards or destruction on that road before we put millings down, that's got to be cured before we put millings down.
Right.
Because they're just going to put a band-aid on it. It's going to come right through the millings. I've got a note here on where you guys are.
Well, what's happening is where they put the millings down, at the end, they spread it out pretty thin. And what's happening?
It's pothole.
Those are extremely difficult to get into with the road grader if there's gravel on the other end. Now when I'm coming up on the road grader, I've got to get that blade angle right with that crown to bring up to where that millings is so I don't start pulling up or degrading that millings. I've got a note on it. We'll definitely go down there and take a look at the actual situation that's down there. It may be something that could be cured with a loader tractor and just to fill those in for the time being until the roads get put in.
Carroll Street is another street that did never get finished with screenings, asphalt screenings.
So what is the time frame for our road is?
Carroll Street. Never got finished.
Do you know what the time frame
is? It was done last
time frame,
May or March.
Carla off of Butler.
Millings,
the one off of Butler Road by 140.
158. The end of 158.
Oh, the north side.
There is that black top. Okay.
Correct. Next year.
What was your address?
15253 Southwest 146 Terrace.
Okay.
And just like he was saying, okay, it sounds like we're going to be next year because of temperatures.
Not necessarily. We still have warm weather that's still forecasted. But I'm saying the buildings are really on the right way. I just want to throw it down there because we have it now. We've got some cooler weather coming, so we have to dive for that. Moisture. Right now we're working on, if I can't get natural moisture from the rain, that I've got to bring it into the water truck. Right now we have issues right now that we're addressing with the water truck.
Well, and I know from watching other groups put down millings that natural moisture makes a huge difference, because just putting it down yourself, it doesn't seem to work quite as good. If you can get that natural to go with it, it seems to work a lot better.
We just don't want to be forgotten.
I understand.
Because we've dealt with that road for 18 years, and it is really a mess.
Okay.
No, that as far as where you got it before, it's in the construction on about the road there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And they may be.
Canal is something is bringing the trucks down.
Yeah, Dollinger, yeah, and that we aren't 100% sure, but we're thinking that may be done. That's what they were telling us, is that they may be done, but they may also have some more to come out there. So depending on what happens there, we still have a location where we can get milling from, though.
We can get them. Okay. Anybody else?
I have two things.
Sorry.
One is... you kind of briefly said about our culvert. The culvert is still not installed properly. It is not down to ground level. It sets up
That's right.
several inches above the ditch,
we talked
but
on
doesn't drain properly.
Yep, we talked on the phone about that. That's right.
And the ditch was supposed to, unfortunately, Rick passed away before he could come back and fix our ditch. And it also needs to be, the grader needs to come in and clean that out so that the water can go ahead and drain on out.
What's your address, ma'am?
14130 Southwest County Line. Another question I was wondering is, have any of the employees ever been licensed or insured or bonded?
Licensed?
I mean, insured or bonded.
The employees?
They're insured. Uh-huh. Insured through us. We have.
I mean, as far as if they're like, for instance, when all the gas. All that money, we came short of the gas and all that gas, those gallons of gas that couldn't be accumulated.
Katie is the one that's bonded. She's a treasurer.
Couldn't be accounted for. Is there any way to insure or bond something so that if something like that happens, the township is not out with large amounts of money like that?
I don't know. I'll have to ask the insurance company, frankly.
Yeah. So I know that we have insurance coverage, but we also have to take into consideration if we make a claim against that, we're still going to have some sort of a deductible. So it's got to be a high enough number to make it, I guess, monetarily worthwhile to file a claim.
Okay. The other thing is, I would like to go on record as being opposed to getting a gas barrel back there again, because when Rick was doing it, that way it was accountable. If there was a car, he used it, he got the gas, and it was a lot more accountable that way. Then you didn't have to worry about somebody coming in there and stealing gas or using it. The other thing is, where our bridge is on that road, there are potholes probably this deep, clear across the bridge. There's not anywhere you can drive on the bridge that you you don't drive, you can't, you have to drive through those huge potholes.
Okay.
And also, I think my husband had brought it up before about bridge inspections.
Right.
Has anything been done about that?
Didn't you talk about that last month?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And there was,
there's nothing right, other than what Jack turned in. The bridge inspections or request to fix bridges or something like that has to come through the trustee, and then they send it to the county engineer. It's kind of a wish list. And then eventually the county engineer will make appropriations if it's bad enough to get fixed, if that's how we have to do it. And there's only a couple of letters in the file that I have, and they were from Jack. So I haven't seen anything since then. That doesn't mean somebody hasn't put something in, but if they have, I'm not aware of it.
So can we call the county engineer and have him come out and look at it?
You certainly can.
Okay.
And you can tell him at the same time that you came to this meeting and that you requested the board do that, and we told you that it was the county's whatever, and you're concerned about it, so we told you go right ahead and call. Or at least I did. I can't speak for mine.
That's fine. More voices are better.
And then I do have a concern that Julie had brought up. If something happens to where this time it wasn't actually in our township, but if there were to happen an emergency, what would happen if they called and no one answered from the township?
Well, okay. Let's be real clear. Emergency services are fire, police, you know, to start with. I mean, for that kind of emergency. What we're talking about was a tree down in the road, which I understand, you know, we need to get it, get onto. It did turn out to be a different township, not ours. Now that we have an overseer, dispatch can get his phone number as well. Philip got calls usually directly. They tended to call him first, frankly, before even me. So we could start there. Both James and I have the county radios, the 800 megahertz radios, where we can, on storm nights, we monitor the, there's all kinds of different channels. There's the fire department channel, police channel. We actually have a township channel as well. So we can do that.
Michael? So I just want to make sure. So if a tree falls on the road, they're going to call you. If a tree falls on the road on top of the car, they're probably going to go out there and take care of it.
I would know.
They are going to call you.
I would hope not.
Okay. I
don't know.
Sure.
I would hope not.
A lot of times it's just somebody that drove by, and they don't even know what township they're in, and they're not sure what intersection it was, so they call 911 and report it, and they may not give accurate information. So we may not get the information that is true and correct when we get the call, but the point that I was trying to make is that we need to answer the phone. If you can't answer the phone, then somebody, and you are the remaining three, some of you three needs to be able to answer that phone day and night. No excuses.
You know what?
That's how I feel about it.
It's happened once in 3 years, and you are making a federal frigging case about
this. It's not the first time.
Yes, it is.
I've been called multiple times.
It's ridiculous.
And every time I get a call, I get a nasty note or a nasty call from you.
It's not true.
Oh, yeah, it is. I got proof.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
First of all, I would like to thank whoever fixed Indianola after the rains. Thank you very much for taking care of that. Second of all, I would like to know, what is the professional policy of our board members regarding answering the emails and questions of citizens who live in this township? Based on that fact alone versus the fact that I happen to be related to someone that someone on our board does not appreciate or approve of. Simply based on my name alone, my name is Thea Kilpatrick. I was told our trustee will not respond to me because I am related to someone who used to work for the township.
So what kind of small town rumor talk was that?
I'm just letting you know.
You're right. I have not responded to your email. But who told you that?
The governor.
Who told you that?
You said that in an agenda meeting.
Stop talking.
Okay. Hey. Do I need to call 911? Because I will.
Is I was informed that my email was not being responded to. After I contacted, I sent an email to the trustee email that I have. I also sent a copy of that exact same email to Dan Wajak.
That's fine.
And an exact copy to the governor.
That's right, you did.
Okay.
That's what your email
the
said, you're right.
The only person who responded to me was Dan Wajak. I was informed that because I am a Kilpatrick, I don't warrant being answered by my township trustee.
Who were you informed of that?
That is my choice.
Okay.
Okay.
That's...
At this point in time, I will ask that person later if it is okay for me to reveal their information.
Okay.
Okay?
I can tell
that
you...
That being said, I don't understand why I, as a taxpaying citizen, am being ignored when I make a request via the email I was given to ask a simple question and a request.
You're right, that's fair. Okay, so to state for the record, I have never said that you are not entitled to a response. Okay, I'll be honest, I did not appreciate that our first communication, you and I, that your first communication was, I have contacted the government or the governor's office.
I'll read you the email if you'd like.
I read it.
I'll read it so everyone can hear it.
That you contacted the.
That is not what I said. I would like to know if there is someone who will be grading in Yanola since we've got plenty of rain yesterday. I also sent a request to the governor's office to look into township issues regarding road maintenance and upkeep and the lack of township standards. That's just a basic email. I wasn't pointing fingers. I was asking a question.
You drew a conclusion that there was lack of township standards. You drew a conclusion that there was enough rain, or maybe not too much rain. You didn't.
The road was washed out to the point where we were having problems getting down Indianola from our neighborhood on Ponderosa at 157th Street all the way to 150th.
I understand that, and what I'm astounded by is that we've gotten emails about the road being in bad shape after 10 straight days of rain, and we had no employees. And we just got.
And nobody even answered my email to fill me in on this. Why can't...
So if you weren't aware of that, why did your email... Why does it go to the governor's office as the first move out of your...
It went to you, to Dan, and the governor's office.
You're right.
I've dealt with this for years, and I have emailed other township trustees.
Okay.
Who are no longer in service.
It has nothing to do.
Same result.
It has nothing to do with your name. It has nothing to do with you. I'll be honest. I took exception to you contacting the governor's office first step out of the gate. First contact that you and I have ever had together, and you go that route. Can I finish a sentence, please?
Hey, knock it off.
Are you kidding? I can't even finish a sentence?
I'm telling you, Jeff, I'm going to call police. You know, lower your voice, or I'm going to do it.
Police for what?
I'm going to do it.
Call them.
Okay.
You got them on speed dial.
Call them.
Please call them.
You asked me a question. I'm trying to answer your question, then you interrupt my answer, and you tell me that I can't do that?
You just stated twice. The point here is, as my township trustee, shouldn't it be your job to say, Mrs. Kilpatrick, I apologize for this happening. What can I do to make this better?
I don't know the exact address here. It's the Rose Hill.
Get off on a better foot.
In Rose Hill, just east of
South. You're absolutely right. That's very fair. You're absolutely right. That's very fair. It caught me in a bad mood. I didn't appreciate the email. I didn't appreciate the governor's part. I didn't respond to it.
Pleasant Township meeting.
You're absolutely right. I didn't, and I apologize for that.
Okay.
It's just south of the old Rose Hill Bank.
Is there ever going to be a time when...
Just call Rose Hill Police. Tell them.
On 157th Terrace, right there at Indianola.
Okay, just...
Indianola's right now.
I understand.
A lot of yelling going on. We just need somebody to calm down people. So whenever they can, that'd be great.
Right. Like I said, we added employees on the 5th, the 7th, the 10th, and the 11th. And we're just getting them back up and going and out there.
I can feel that.
Well, I'm just saying, just put it high priority.
It's on there.
Okay.
I'm well aware of the washout.
Not yelling. Okay. I'm not putting up any more yelling. So.
I've been driving roads.
Julie Winslow. They've already had a high. They've already had a heads up.
Your ditch.
They knew I might be calling if it got loud.
We have a lot of work with not a whole lot of people, honestly.
Yes.
Gets on there. Yes, we have some other, just for the lack of ability to put maintainer on the road because of the lack of people, we have some other extremely high use areas. Need some attention.
Just going to leave the recorder
that
on.
It is highlighted.
And let you listen to the rest of the meeting.
I want to take a look, a better look where that washout is.
So if anything happens, then you'll have
before
the recording.
Before we go in and put more gravel in or level out a washout, I want to see what's causing that washout.
Okay.
We can fix a washout 100 times, but if we're not fixing the problem that's
like
causing a washout, we're
going to 101?
I can show you. It's the culvert right there going under that road.
Rose Hill Road.
And
it actually
that
goes
down
into the yard of one of the neighbors.
Or Southwest Butler.
The yard.
Mm-hmm.
It washes out into.
I think in Rose Hill, it's known as Rose Hill.
Okay.
So, and we actually have to drive onto the property of the north neighbor across the street down 157. And I didn't even bring that up because it just happened after that last rainstorm. And it only was worse.
Thank
than
you. I appreciate it.
It was, and we have other roads that are almost in the same boatload as Indianola right now that we're still trying to get to. Hopefully, the moisture that we're going to get tonight is going to be able to get us back out there to level some roads out. It's hard to get out there and push dirt around and create even more dust or more fines that are going to be loose that's going to turn mud when we get ready. So we're very limited on our window. Being as staffed as that we are and with the experience that we have, there's a lot of things that are highlighted, and that is one of them.
All right.
So all I ask is just some time. It's going to take time to get the progress that I want going. But once that ball starts rolling, it'll be hard to stop this.
My last question, and I know I'm making a huge wave here, and I apologize in advance and during, but, when you do lay rock in a road, is it possible to put up flares or warnings of some kind because there was rock laid in a road on a 160th, I believe it was, I was coming down 160th, I was doing the speed limit, and this pile of road was right in the middle of the road, and I almost hit it. Are there supposed to be road flares? Are there supposed to be warning signs? Are there supposed to be...
Was it a windrow, like the grader was running?
No, it was...
It was a pile of rock right in the middle of the road.
Right.
Yeah, that was before you, James.
That was before.
Okay.
Yeah, that was before
you.
This was in August sometime.
It was just a flat-out mistake. That the guy putting rock down didn't realize that that got dumped
that
high.
That road is so heavily, it worried me because there are people that travel that road who don't pay as much attention. How I kept from flipping my truck, I don't know.
I understand. No, it was just a flat out mistake that got put that high. We knew about it. In August, we were running, Steve ran some rock for us. We also hired Bannon out of the quarry. We talked about that Both of them put rock on 160th. There was no way to know who did it. And it was just kind of like, okay, guys, we've got to be more careful.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay. Anybody else?
People like Thea have got to be able to call in when there's a problem like that. And
we're done with that.
If no one answers, they have to call 911 and let them know.
Anyone else in the audience?
A hazard.
Okay. Item G, we got the minutes from last month's meeting. Put a motion on the table to approve these meeting minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, well, are we going to discuss, or is it going to be like last time and you're just going to approve whatever? Because I see several things that I would like corrected, but you go right ahead and prove them because I want to make another note
through it all the time.
That Jeff has complete control of the website. He has control of the minutes. He makes the minutes like he wants. If they don't agree, if they're not right, it doesn't matter. He's got control. He puts them on the website. No one else has access to that website. But they're not mine. They're supposed to say trustee's minutes, and they are supposed to be in the order of the exact
says
meeting. They're not supposed
right
to
there.
Be. They're not supposed
oh,
to be random around.
Yo,
so
that's your
get it out of your system.
Okay. I'm just going to say for the recording, every time it gets brought up, it's garbage.
No,
I'll be happy.
You need to read it.
I'm sorry. Are you interrupting me again?
Yeah. When you're done, I'll make my point.
I'll be happy to answer anybody's questions if they want to bring them to me about the minutes, about the website, about any of this.
Yes, that's right. Jeff has answered that question before. Now, there's been people that have come up to him after the meeting when I'm gone, and they've asked him, and
he's
said
things like... That's not
true.
You're standing right here.
He has said things like...
All right. A motion is made and seconded to accept these minutes.
I'm sorry. I'm not finished.
Those in favor?
I'm not finished, Jeff.
Aye.
Please.
Aye. You are.
No, I wanted to discuss.
If I can interrupt for a second, who called the police?
I did.
Okay.
Because a lot of yelling got went on, and he was the yelling.
Okay. If you could go ahead and step out with me and talk for a couple minutes.
I can't do it till... Can you just give me one more minute?
No, we're going to need to talk real quick.
Okay.
And then come back in.
Let's see. Can you watch my recorder? Make sure it doesn't get turned off.
Okay. A motion has been made and seconded. Actually, I'll just wait. I'll wait.
Well, I already voted.
I know, but I don't think it's fair to... I'm not going to vote while she's out of the room.
You want to sign the check?
Sure. All right, well, you know what? I'll just... whatever. And let it go.
Black
trying really
blue.
Hard not to... Sorry.
Have a good evening.
Hey, Dave, take care, bud.
You too.
We'll see you.
Taya, you're absolutely right, and I do apologize for that. And I can talk to you a little more about it afterwards if you'd like.
We're done at the beginning. We're waiting on Julie to come back in for the minutes.
I'm leaving. Okay. I know we'll get done. You tell me it's going to get done. It's going to get done. You can take care of it. I'm counting.
It's slowing down. It's my girl on class day.
Well, I'm out, but you know, you got beans to take care of.
Yeah,
we've
got to get it done.
Got to get this done. They're going to be there tomorrow.
Well, you should be done if you want to have done.
They'll still be there.
No, I got. Yeah, I got a couple little quick things for you. So.
No, never mind. He's got something for you. Here, I thought I'd let him go.
No.
Well, I've seen some things for you. Weekly should have came in with your dog.
Do they have a dog?
Well, yeah. Well, they had that. The Jane came in.
Jeff.
They paid him to bought a dog. He worked with him, and then he quit and he went to Andover.
Now, weekly, they all went,
huh? Then it's McNeil just quit too. And there was, that's our old officer. And he was to try to find him. Weekly there, he's supposed to
All right, I probably should say for the record on these recordings what's going on right now. Sorry, there's a little bit of blank space there. Julie Winslow, the clerk, called the police officers thinking that I was raising my voice too much. She is speaking with them outside right now, so we're waiting for her to come back inside to finalize our vote on these meeting minutes. So you may hear some discussion. I guess we're just waiting.
Next time I'll bring my stapler and my envelopes.
And only two showed up to me for the interview. One guy is qualified, he got
So we have a motion on the table to approve the minutes from last month for August that's been made and seconded.
Now, I would like to discuss them, and you're denying me that right just because you feel like being a bully.
I'm not a bully, Julie.
You are, because right, I'm a board. Excuse me, Katie. I'm not talking to you.
I'm kind of tired of the fighting,
I am
seriously.
Trying to tell you
can we never get along on
these
anything?
You know, if he wasn't so busy doing everyone's job, maybe he could do a good job on what he's supposed to be doing. You know, when I got these minutes, this afternoon.
You're right, you did.
This afternoon. You know, do you know that last month's meeting is still not on the website? At least not as of this morning.
Yes, it is. It went up the night of the meeting.
I don't know. I can't see it on mine, so.
It went up the night of the meeting last month.
You got a long month then.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. Yeah.
Please.
Hey, it's not a township page. It's a personal page.
Is a voted on township page.
You don't want to go there.
What?
We voted that you need to
then
change the name.
Then sue me,
of that page.
Jeff.
You even
sue
got,
me.
You even got an opinion.
Sue me.
Now who's raising their voice?
Sue me over.
Now who's raising their voice?
Let's just quit.
I'm just tired of you being a bully.
I'm not a bully.
Started yelling at people. It just makes me upset. And yes, I want to talk about the minutes. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about it.
We have a recording. Motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
3 months.
Opposed?
Okay, so you just want them entered wrong?
They're not wrong, Julie.
Yes, they are wrong.
They're not wrong.
They're out of order. They're not correct, and they're not complete. That's all right. I got on the recording.
They're minutes.
We have control of everything.
Are you voting or not voting?
Excuse
on this
me.
From my notes?
I said.
No.
I said opposed.
You're not voting?
No.
Okay.
Abstain.
I'm going to oppose the minutes. Yes.
Okay.
That's why I gave James a copy of the statutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll call us adjourned at 8:05.
God for that.